Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. We are continuing in a series called Membership Matters, with that dual play on words, that talking about that membership actually matters, and then in particular talking about some matters as it relates particularly to this membership known as Providence. And so there's a lot to do today, a lot that we have left to do from last week. If you are a guest with us this morning, I want to say a special welcome to you. My name is Joe. I'm the lead pastor here at Providence, and it's a good day for you to be here. You're going to get to see a little bit kind of behind the scenes, some inner workings of this particular local church here, as we are talking about a new proposed membership covenant, okay? And so today's going to be very different in the sense that I'm not going to be taking a one passage of scripture and kind of walking through it saying, all right, this is what Paul means when he writes, this is what Jesus meant, this is what Moses meant when he, but we're going to be talking about kind of walking through a human document that the pastors wrote based off the scriptures, that's just kind of a summary. And so the way we explained it last week is that a membership covenant, just kind of lay this out there, is the ethical counterpart to a doctrinal statement. And so, for example, every church has a summary, all right? This is our statement of belief. This is our doctrinal statement. This is what summarizes what we believe right here. These are the basic things. A membership covenant is on the practice side of that. And so if this is a summary of what we believe, a membership covenant is a summary of how we intend to practice that, how we intend to live that out here. And so one is orthodoxy, right belief. One is orthopraxy, right practice. And so a membership covenant is simply something that summarizes the way that a membership, a local church, and so for us, Providence, intends to live out the faith that we profess. And it's a pledge to one another before God that this is how we intend to live it out. Not perfection, but this is the intention, okay? And so we're going to be talking about that today. One fear that I have with anytime we deal with something like this is that we can become so enamored with the specific that we don't like use it for its design purpose. And so for an example, I give you two examples. One is like somebody gets a new tool, all right? You go to Home Depot, you get this awesome tool, and you become so enamored with that awesome tool, you don't use it to dig for treasure, right? You don't use it for what it's like the people you see riding around Nashville in particular who have these psycho jacked up 4x4s, huge, tires and blinged out rims, and that thing has never seen the mud, ever, all right? That you've got this awesome thing, but you're so enamored with it, you don't use it for what it was created to do. And so with a membership covenant, I want to make sure that we recognize it's just a tool, all right, to point us to Christ, to point us to the way we should live out in our faith family here at Providence, okay? And so the reason that a membership covenant then is important is because membership matters, all right? It matters. Through the scriptures, the New Testament, you never see a Lone Ranger Christian. Not once, okay? That if you are a believer, right, you're yoked to a local community of faith, a local church, all right? And this is for our good, right? God is not in the heavens malevolently, oh, I'm going to create this thing called the church, and we're just going to watch people fight, and they're going to backbite, and they're going to gossip against one another, and it'll be so fun just to watch them do that, and they're going to hate it. It's going to be boring. They're backwoods or psycho, because that's how the church is portrayed. I mean, have you ever watched the news, CNN or Fox News? Whenever they get someone to come on and debate a subject, they always go get the most backwoods, living in a cave, South Carolina, all right, like with Clemson fan, some. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's who they pick out to go talk to some Harvard-educated guy, and it just makes Christians look like a bunch of idiots. The amazing thing is that in the New Testament, it was that backwoods cave people that God used for the propagation of the gospel. All the disciples, they were fishermen, except Paul. Paul was the Harvard-educated guy. But like so many of them, they're fishermen, and God used them for the propagation of the gospel. And so it's such that there's no one, all right, that part, like every person who is a member of a church plays a role. We read Romans 9 a little bit a minute ago. And so, again, it's for our good. All right, everybody's got a role. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Right, both as a pastor, congregation, that's the way God's designed it, and just brother to brother, sister to sister, we need each other. Romans 12 says that we are all individually members of one another. And so that means I can never be all that God wants me to be if you guys, the membership here, aren't playing your part. All right? And you can never be all that God wants you to be if I'm not playing my part. Everybody has a role to play, no matter how small, no matter how big, everybody has a part to play. And so membership matters. All right? And so I've got to do a little review because I've got to kind of lay out some of the things we covered last week before we get into the membership covenant in particular itself, walking through what that means. It's in your bulletin and whatnot. And so a little bit of a review. In one sense, and this is what we said last week, in one sense, church membership starts at conversion, all right? When you are saved, you become part of the universal church. Now, the universal church, what is that? That is just the collection of all believers of all time across all geographic locations. And so if you are a true believer, you are a part of the universal church. It's invisible. It's not something we can see. Okay, only God sees it. He's got the Lamb Book of Life. He knows the membership role for the universal church. All right, and so you can fake it here, but not with God. He knows who is part of the universal church. All right, and so in one sense, when you truly become a believer, when you're saved, you become part of the universal church, a collection of all believers of all time across all geographic locations. So all the believers in Africa, Asia, South America, we're all part of the universal church. 2,000 years ago, all, like, until Christ comes, all part of the universal church, all who have believed. All right? And so in one sense, church membership begins at conversion. We all become part of the universal church. But that must then be given expression in a local setting. And that's what we talked about last week. You never see in the New Testament someone besides like the thief on the cross and the Ethiopian eunuch, someone who's just been converted, a saint who's not part of a local covenant community of God's people existing under Christ's headship, serving kingdom purposes by the Spirit's power for the glory of God. Okay, and so a local church is like a microcosm or a small-scale example of the universal church, okay? It's the local version of that. And as, like, for Providence, we can't see one another's hearts. So I cannot say for certainty that this person is a bona fide believer. You can't look at me and say with certainty, all right, because you can't see my heart, all right? But insofar as we can, we do want to guard the membership here at Providence to be believers, just as a unit, we want to reflect the universal church. And so Baptists have historically called this regenerate church membership. That is, membership is only for those who are regenerate, those who have been saved, those who have trusted by faith in Christ. Okay, and I'm not talking about attenders. I'm not talking about, like, if you're part of the community of Providence, kind of under the umbrella of Providence. If you're here and you're not a believer, or you're here and just kind of checking us out, make sure we're not loco, you know, we're not Westboro or something. If you're here, I'm not talking about just someone who's attending and kind of this Jesus thing I'm not sure about. That's awesome. Welcome. All right, we're here to serve you. We're here to love you. That's what we're here. I long for the day when our attendance is like double our actual membership. That's the way it should work. Okay, that's the way it should work. So when I'm talking about regenerate church membership, I'm talking that actual membership, not involvement. Okay, involvement, anybody and everybody, but actual bona fide membership, all right, is reserved for those who've been regenerated, those who've been saved, those who have been born again through Christ's life, death, burial, resurrection, right? Where Jesus lived the life that you did not and could not, all right, a life of perfection for you when you did not do it, and where he died the death that you should have for your sin, he did it for you in your place as your substitute, and where he rose then again, right, drop kicking the door of death, walking out and rises again to give you a gift that you can never earn, forgiveness of sin. Because, see, what's so crazy about the gospel is that, as one guy put it, the gospel is good news, wonderful, positive, invigorating, wholesome, nurturing news, precisely because our relationship to God does not depend on our zeal, on our efforts, on our generosity, but on Christ. Okay, that's what makes the gospel such good news. And it's not just good news about how we get in initially. It's good news that we go back to every day. Because if you are, in fact, a believer, if you are a Christian, then who you really are has nothing to do with you. And that's good news. Okay? It has nothing to do with how much you can accomplish, how much you can become, your behavior, whether that's good or bad, your background, your strengths, your weaknesses, your sordid past, your family background, your education, your looks, what you do, all right? Who you are is not what you do. If you are in Christ, who you are is His. And so it's all based upon, like, your identity is all based and anchored in Christ's accomplishment, not yours. His strengths, not yours. His performance, not yours. His victory, not yours. Your identity is steadfastly established in His substitution, not your sin. And so, again, in one sense, church membership begins at conversion when you become part of the universal church, but that must then be given expression in a local setting. And so last week we went through a host of scriptures looking at the biblical mandate, all right, for local church membership, noting again that it is for our good, that if you are a believer, it's not like, hey, this is a good idea. If you're a believer, it's not like, well, you want to grow, you want to be varsity level Christian, then you join a church. That's how you get to be varsity. But just as a believer, we are to be, it's a necessity. It's a necessity. Not to become a Christian, all right? But because you are, scripturally, we're to be yoked together, one member, all members together, one body, yoked together, all right? Whether that's here or somewhere, to be part of a local church setting, okay? And so it's a gift that God has given us to be part of a body, and it's a command. It's a both and. It's for our good and His glory. Whereas Chad was even praying, we bear burdens together. We collectively make war on our sin, okay? We hold one another up. We push one another on to growth in Christ, to maturity in Christ. Push one another on to make much of Christ, to love one another, to care for one another, to help each other worship and enjoy God, and lead others to do the same. I think that's over there. And so that's what brings us then to the new membership covenant that's in your bulletin. When I graduated from Georgia Tech in 2002, and I just went into the working world. Most of you know this. I didn't have a call to ministry or anything. So I took a job, and I took a job with a company called Lithonia Lighting. And so, like, walked in today, and I was like, oh, they got some new high bays back there with some T5HOs. That's good. Which is going to be a good thing. There'll actually be a lot of light up here in a couple weeks once they get it all changed out and get these high-intensity discharge high bays out of here. That'll be a good thing, all right? But I worked for a company called Lithonia Lighting, and one of the things that Lithonia Lighting, probably at a lot of different companies, is something called CQI. It's continuous quality improvement. And so whatever it was, whether it's our product line or our services that we provided, you wanted to continuously be checking them, looking at them, and seeking for, you know, quality improvement, like, always, not just every now and then, once a year, well, once every 5 years we'll do this, but continuous quality improvement. The same thing is true in our Christian lives. It's called sanctification, okay? Continuously progressing towards Christ and looking at our lives, evaluating our lives. Do I believe truly what I say I believe? does my walk match my talk? All right, do I really live this thing out? And so we got to do that as individuals, but then we have to do that corporately as well. Continuously evaluating, examining statements and documents that help shape our church to see if they can be improved upon. And that's what we're doing with the new proposed membership covenant, okay? And it's actually part of our constitution, not our bylaws. Our constitution is like 3 pages long. 2 pages of that is the membership covenant. It says, we're Providence, and these are our articles of incorporation, and blah, 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 blah. And here's our membership covenant. All we're talking about changing is that membership covenant part, okay? And so let's dive into that. It's printed in your bulletin, all right? And again, this is how we intend to walk. Not talking perfection here, but intention. Not one slip up, you're out of here, all right? No, this is our intention. Matter of fact, one of the points is about reconciliation. It's about forgiveness. I think Jesus had something to say about that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And so here's what it says. It begins with a preamble. Having been brought by grace to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, i.e., I am a believer, and to entrust and submit ourselves to him for our joy and his glory. All right, there it is again. This is for our good. This is for our joy. God is not after, I've said it 1,000 times, our beat-down, begrudging submission, but after our joy in him, because he's after the praise of his glorious grace. So he's after our joy found in him. Okay? And having been baptized upon our profession of faith, we do now, in the presence of Almighty God, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully, enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ to worship and enjoy God and lead others to do the same. All right? And so today, I'm going to walk through this. It's going to have to be high level. All right? I'm not going to be able to go into every single detail of every nuance of every line. But this afternoon at the Q&A at 6 o'clock, that's what that's there for. Anything you've got a question about? Fire away. And so we'll have that membership meeting 6 o'clock tonight. And so here it says, broken up into two sections. One's really like how we're going to practice together, and then one's like how we're going to fulfill the mission of God loosely. There's some overlap, though. So first part, we endeavor, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, very, very important, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, okay, walking, so it's not all on our strength to cowboy up and do this, but leaning on the Holy Spirit, God being our champion, walking together in Christian love. Here's things that we are covenanting to do together. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, joy, community, worship, and expansion. And so knowledge, we want to grow in Christ. Holiness, we want to become more and more like Jesus, all right, day by day as we make war on our sin and run towards Christ. Joy, Jesus came that our joy might be full. Community, all right, we are a community here, and collectively we live in little community groups where we seek to bear one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to be there for one another, to rally around one another. Worship and expansion, that's growth. Right? Numeric growth. I mean, absolutely, that's what we want to do. Why? Because we want to see people come to know the goodness and the joy of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's part of why Jesus created the church, Matthew 16, and gave them authority. Okay? Gave the church authority. And so, I'm going to read just some scripture references on this. I've got a host of them listed up here. We no way we can go through that. But for one on this, would be Colossians 1, 9 through 12 says this. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's just that great exchange. Jesus takes our sin upon himself and gives us his righteousness so that our sins are gone. And not only are we just a blank slate now, but we have the righteousness of Christ, and so we can stand clean before God. And so we want to strive in that way. Another thing we want to do is together promote the churches. So to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to defend and nurture its ordinances. Ordinances, what's that? Lord's Supper, baptism. All right? To defend and nurture its ordinances, doctrines, and discipline. And so, for example, 1 Timothy 4:16 says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, i.e. doctrine. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. All right, so we're to keep a close watch on these things, to defend and nurture ordinances, our doctrines, and our discipline. All right, that the church together does have something called church discipline, not for the purpose of we want to, you know, you sin, you're out of here, but for the purpose of spurring one another on. All right, so church discipline isn't just excommunication. Church discipline is, hey, bro, I see this in your life. Am I wrong? I'm just wondering about this. I just wanted to chat with you. I want to check on you. I love you. All right, that sort of thing. That's part of church discipline. A lot of times we think church discipline is, you know, crack the whip, and it's all of that. It's walking with one another. Next one, to give it sacred preeminence over all human institutions, and to support the philosophy, vision, and purpose of the church. Matthew 16, this is where Jesus creates in some sense, this is where Jesus creates the church. And he says in verse 18, and I tell you, all right, going back up, Peter's just given a confession. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And here's verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, all right, Peter, play on words, because Peter's Petros, that means little pebble, all right? And so he's saying, and I tell you, you are a little pebble, but on this rock, this confession you just made about who I am, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so the church is one of two things that are a divine institution. All right, two institutions. You have the family. God created it. It was God's idea. Right? That's why we're, you know, seek to hold to the biblical standard of what a family is. It's God's idea. He created it, and God created the church. Okay, two institutions. And so we say to give it sacred preeminence over all human institutions. And so that is, like, my kids play soccer. That's great. Love it. Our kids do all kinds of stuff. I'm going to. And I'm not saying there'll never be a time where we go to a soccer game and we're not here on Sunday morning. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there'll ever be a time when if something happens and I have to take a job and I work on something, that's fine. Those things, that's okay. But where's the priority? That's what we're talking about here. To give it sacred preeminence over all human institutions, that it's that important. Why? Because it's God's creation. And God, for our good and His glory, all right, has given the gift and the command of the church. Okay? And to support the philosophy, vision, and purpose of the church. All right? That we're all rallied around the same thing, pulling in the same direction. To regularly participate in the life of Providence by attending weekly services, engaging in gospel-centered community. All right? Serving those within and outside of the church. Remembering one another in prayer, aiding one another in sickness and distress, and seeking to love others in word and deed as Christ has loved us. Again, this is just, the membership covenant is just a statement of what we intend, how we intend to love it. And it's just a summary of what Jesus has already said about how we're to live. Okay? And so this is what we want to do. We want to come together. Back in February, I went camping. Took a short little weekend, went down to where I'm from in Georgia, and there's a small, and I mean tiny, little mountain that's near my house that I'd always wanted to climb to the top of. As you can see, the fire tower from our house or whatever, and get up there. And so a buddy of mine, we decided, you know what, we're gonna do it. And so there wasn't a trail. We just blazed the trail, got to the top, and then started making our way out, down the backside of it. We staged two cars, and I'm going to pick us up. So we had to camp. Now, it just happened to be the absolute coldest night of the winter. You know, it wasn't cold last year, but this particular day, it was like 19 degrees that night. So it was very, very, very cold. Problem was, it had been raining, and so all the wood that we found was wet. And so it took us forever to get a fire that would like sustain itself. Once we finally did, that was great. And so, like, you've been there, you've been around a fire, and after a fire's been burning for a long time, you've got coals that are like super hot, just glowing red, whatever. And you can get a stick and you can stir it, but if one pops out, all right, and comes over here on the side, at first it's red hot. But what happens in just very short amount of time? Thing starts cooling and it's not nearly as bright, and it starts cooling and it starts getting really dull, and it's just a couple little bit of whiffs of smoke to show that it once had heat, and before long it's black and you can pick it up with your hand. That's what happens with believers when we get out of community with one another. Together, when the coals are together, it's hot. They stay hot. But you try to do it on your own and it's going to cool. When you unplug, when you get out of community. And so we want to, as Hebrews 10 tells us, we want to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so we've got to be together. We live community, do life together. So we want to do that. We want to serve one another. We want to pray for one another. We want to aid one another. We want to seek to love one another, and not just here, but those outside the church as well, as Christ has loved us. He came to serve, not to be served. And so we want to do that as a body and with arms of that out into the community of Nolensville, Brimwood, Laverne, Smyrna, all right, arms out. Next one, to cheerfully steward the resources of God, the resources God has given us, all right, and they are the resources of God. Everything is God's. That's the way we've got to view this. Everything is God's, and he's given us a few things to steward, all right, and so we want to cheerfully steward the resources God has given us, including our time, our talents, our spiritual gifts, and our resources. This includes regular, cheerful, and generous financial giving in support of ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all the nations. Every year we publish a budget. It goes out to you. You see that we give away off the top of it, like 13% just goes out the door. It never even touches us, let alone things that we do from benevolences throughout the year, helping someone with this, helping someone with that. But it's not just about giving your money, all right? Because that is something that we do. And it's not just about, like, write my check, all right? Because that's how I've approached giving sometimes, is, all right, it's a bill. Got to pay my monthly bill. That's not worship. What Christ is after always is the heart. And so it is an act of worship. I am worshiping. I am trusting. This is yours. You've given it to me. I'm trusting this to go to the furtherance of your kingdom here and all around the world, to fulfill the things, to help one another, as well as all around the world. But not just finances. All right? Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Colossians says, whatever you do, do it as if you are working, or do it for the glory of God, as if you're working for him. And so everything that we do, all right, we want to steward it. All that we have, time, resources, talents, we want to steward them well. It's all about your heart. And so if you want to know where someone's heart is, where someone's, what someone's passionate about, look at their wallet. It's going to tell you. I'm Titans. I don't know. Vacations. clothes. It's going to tell you, all right? I'm not sitting up here saying, like, beating you, wanting to beat everyone down, but giving, yes, is a part of being part of a covenant community. And it's about the heart. Where's your heart at? Next one, to watch over one another in brotherly love, being slow to take offense. All right? That's key. Being slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the commands of our Savior to secure it without delay. This is really, I'm just going to read this and I'm not even going to say anything. 1 Corinthians 13, have you got it memorized? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then verse 13, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is it the greatest? Faith will someday be sight. Hope will someday be realize. Love is never ends. And so we want to walk in love towards one another. I mean, if I had to sum it up, love one another. That's the membership covenant. Love one another, love our neighbors, love Jesus. That's the membership covenant. Another one, just to get specific on that then. To avoid all lying, grumbling, backbiting, gossip, and unrighteous anger, as well as all quarrelsome, fault-finding, and antagonistic attitudes, and instead with all humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's just a quotation from Ephesians 4 there at the end. The beginning of that lying, grumbling, backbiting, unrighteous, I call that stupid church. Okay? And I also call that typical church. Typical church. This is what creates the idea of, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. Because too often, grumbling, lying, backbiting, gossip, unrighteous anger, quarrelsomeness, fault-finding. Like, let me go around, I'm a referee, out of bounds. Antagonistic attitudes. It's real easy to point people out. But let our first thing be benefit of the doubt. Let our first thing be love, okay? Let that be first in our life. Next one, and the last one of this part, to submit to the authority of Scriptures as the final arbiter on all issues and pray for, help, and follow the pastors/elders of Providence as they follow Christ. And so, 2 Timothy, the reason we do this, 2 Timothy 3:14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Here it is. All Scripture is breathed out by God. All right, that means He wrote it, basically. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And then Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And so we want to submit to the authority of Scriptures. It is the authority, period. Okay? All right, let's roll. Let's really roll. We further endeavor by the aid of the Holy Spirit, being zealous for His kingdom, to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ through applying his gospel daily, regular Bible reading, prayer, repentance, and practicing spiritual disciplines, i.e., like at the Olympics, no one got there. Maybe Usain Bolt could have, but no one else could have gotten there without crazy amounts of training. In this Christian life, to progress, we have to work at it. Right? We have to work at it. And so we want to be spiritually disciplined, pray, repent, all of these things. Right? All of these things. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about, I don't beat aimlessly in the air, but I subdue my body and discipline my body for the things of Christ. Next one, to aid in and equip parents to disciple their children, couples to strengthen their marriages, and singles to enjoy their family in Christ. One of our core values is family, all right? One of our core values is family. And so we as parents want to help you be able to train your child in the things of God. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." Right? He's not talking to a church and saying, you do this for the parents. He's saying, parents, this is what you do. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. And so at Providence, we want to equip you to disciple your children well. We want to equip couples to have a marriage that glorifies God and brings joy to them. And singles to enjoy the freedom that they have as a single to pursue God and be about the things of God unhindered from other responsibilities. And so we want to do that. We want to press you, help you to disciple your children, to have a marriage that brings you joy and fullness and brings glory to God. All right. To walk with discernment and respect in the world. Being just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our actions. Basically, just living what we say. Living it. All right? Just live it. To fulfill our mission of making disciples of all nations by being agents of reconciliation, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us, aiding in the planting of new churches, and doing so both locally and globally. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus, I mean, it's the great commandment, go and make disciples of all nations, okay? All nations, we want to be about that. Like that's like the charge to the troops. That's what we want to be about. And this can't be the nebulous thing where this is a good idea. What we'll do is we'll treat it like a car that's broke down on the side of the interstate. You see a car broke down on the side of the interstate, you drive on by, don't you? Somebody else will stop. But you see a car broke down on a country road, and you stop. Because you don't know if somebody else is going to come along and stop for them. That's how we approach this. Evangelism, sharing the gospel with others, isn't, I don't like it, somebody else will do it. It is a call to every single believer to be an agent of reconciliation. You live where you live on purpose. You work where you work on purpose. No one else works there. You work there. God put you there. Why did he put you there? If you're a believer, he put you there to tell them of the good news. Freedom. Not to beat them.
Believe.
But to love them and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And then to as quickly as possible, if the Lord should ever lead us elsewhere, unite with another local church to carry out the same calling of Jesus we enjoy now. If you ever move, get plugged in somewhere. Don't become a coal that goes cold. And so that's the membership covenant in a nutshell. This is how we are pledging ourselves to walk toward each other. And so I'm going to sum it up by reading a scripture and we will shut her down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the aim of the covenant. The glory of God and the good of His people. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the gospel. We thank You for Christ. We thank You that Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That by Your grace You have reached in and provided a way of salvation that's not based upon us attaining something. It's based upon the Christ who attained it for us. And so, Father, for those who are here and have never trusted You, I pray by Your Spirit You would stir in them, prod in them to believe. If they don't fully understand, to ask questions, to dig in a little bit more. Father, for those of us who may be a believer, and are here today, if they're not part of a local church, pray that You would prod them to become part of a local church, whether that's here or somewhere. Somewhere. And then for us who are actual members of Providence, I pray as we continue down this path, even tonight, with a question and answer time through the covenant, that we wouldn't just play around with this tool, but we would use it as something that drives us to You. Something that helps shape us more. To be transformed into Your image. And so God, we give You all praise, glory, and honor for all that You are, all that You have done, are doing, and will do for Your church. And all the local churches that make it up. And so we love You and praise You. In Jesus' name.